You're listening to The Buster Mungus Diaries, the people, places, and parallels in modern sound.
Although bubblegum music has gained a certain cachet of cool in some circles over the past few decades, while remaining a pop pariah in other circles, during its original heyday, it was viewed strictly as fodder for juvenile tastes, pure pablum for preteen people. Furthermore, the music was blatantly commercial at a time when such materialistic goals were deemed unacceptable by an emerging counterculture. Basically, your hippies were not into this. Bubblegum music held no delusions of grandeur, though, nor any intent to expand your mind or alter your perceptions. Bubblegum producers only wanted you to fork over the dough and go home and play your new acquisition over and over to your heart's content, and, no doubt, to your older brother's consternation. Writing in Mojo magazine, writer Dawn Eden put a finer point on her description of bubblegum music. And I quote, "From the get-go, bubblegum was a purely commercial genre. Producers like Buddha Records and Jerry Cassonets and Jeff Katz had no higher aspiration than to make a quick buck and get out." End of quote. Eden went on to note, "Although power pop aims for your heart and your feet, bubblegum aims for any part of your body it can get, as long as you buy the damn record." You could conceivably think of virtually every cute novelty hit, from pre-rock ditties like "How Much Is That Doggy in the Window" to the transcendent rock era staples like "Aiko Aiko," as a legitimate precursor to bubblegum's avowedly ephemeral themes. The Royal Guardsmen, they managed a number two hit in 1966 with "Snoopy Versus the Red Baron," a novelty tune based on funny-looking dog with the big black nose in the Peanuts comic strip. The single combined a campy kid's appeal with a punky bridge nicked without apology from Louie Louie, although Snoopy vs. the Red Baron and its lower charting sequels were certainly precursors to the recognized bubblegum sound, Bill Pizanka insists the Royal Guardsmen were not a bona fide bubblegum group at any time. Let's take a listen to some of the precursors to bubblegum music and get a feel for where bubblegum music came from and how it evolved. Let's take it off with Patti Page.
"How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that doggy is for sale. I must take a trip to California and leave my poor sweetheart alone. If he has a dog, he won't be lonesome, and the doggy will have a good home. How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that doggy is for sale. I read in the papers there are robbers with flashlights that shine in the dark. My love needs a doggy to protect him and scare them away with one bark. I don't want a bunny or a kitty. I don't want a parrot that talks. I don't want a bowl of little fishies. He can't take a goldfish for a walk. How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that doggy's for sale."
My My grandma and your grandma were sitting by the fire. My grandma told your grandma, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. You're talking about hey now, hey now, hey now. Aiko, Aiko, Ande, Giacomo Fino, Anane, Giacomo Finale. Look at my king all dressed in red. Aiko, Aiko, Ande, I bet you $5 he'll kill you dead. Giacomo Finale. Talking about hey now,
hey now,
hey now,
hey now.
Aiko, Aiko, Ande, Giacomo Fino, Anane, Giacomo Finale. My flag boy and your flag boy sitting by the fire. My flag boy to your flag boy, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. Talking about hey now,
hey now,
hey now,
hey now.
Aiko, Aiko, Ande, Giacomo Fino, Anane, Giacomo Finale. See that guy all dressed in green, Aiko, Aiko, Ande. He's not a man, he's a loving machine. Giacomo Finale. Talking about hey now,
hey now,
hey now,
hey now.
Aiko, Aiko, Ande, Giacomo Fino, Anane, Giacomo Finale. Talking about hey now,
hey now,
hey now. Aiko, Aiko, Ande, Giacomo Fino, Anane, Giacomo Finale. Giacomo Finale.
After the turn of the century, in the clear blue skies over Germany, came a roar and a thunder men have never heard, like the screaming sound of a big war bird. Up in the sky, a man in a plane, Baron von Richthofen was his name. 80 men tried, and 80 men died, now they're buried together on the countryside.
There's fire.
You're listening to the Buster Mungus Diaries with your host, Buster Mungus.
Oh, there's a crazy little shack beyond the tracks, and everybody calls it the Sugar Shack. Just a coffee house and it's made out of wood. Espresso coffee tastes mighty good. That's not the reason why I've gotta get back up to that sugar shack. Whoa, baby, to that sugar shack. There's this cute little girlie, she's a working there. A black leotard's and her feet are bare. I'm gonna drink a lot of coffee, spend a little cash, make that girl love me when I put on some trash. You can understand why I've gotta get back up to that sugar shack. Whoa, baby, to that sugar shack. Yeah, honey, to that sugar shack. Oh, yes, to that sugar shack. And now that sugar shack queen is married to me, yeah. We just sit around and dream of those old memories. But one of these days I'm gonna lay down tracks in the direction of that sugar shack. Just me and her, yes, we're gonna go back to that sugar shack. Whoa, oh, to that sugar shack. Yeah, honey, to our sugar shack. Yeah, 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 our sugar shack.
We started off with How Much Is That Doggy in the Window from 1953 by Patti Page. It was originally written by Bob Merrill in 1952 and is loosely based on the folk tune Carnival of Venice. It was recorded by Patti Page on December 18th of 1952 and released in January of 1953 on Mercury Records. Then we heard the Dixie Cups with their version of Ico Ico from 1965, and then the Royal Guardsmen with Snoopy vs. the Red Baron from 1966, and we ended it off with Jimmy Glimmer and the Fireballs with Sugar Shack from 1963. Although the music we've heard sets the stage for bubblegum music, it really isn't considered to be pure bubblegum. And of course, there was no shortage of acts in the mid-1960s actively cultivating some aspect of the adolescent market. Herman's Hermits had a string of cuddly little hits, with Henry VIII I Am veering the closest to bubblegum, but they were never quite a bubblegum group. Also, the Lovin' Spoonful had a goofy good time vibe about them, but they were just too far. They were just too authentic to be considered bubblegum.
I'm Henry the Eighth, I am. Henry the Eighth, I am, I am. I got married to the widow next door. She's been married 7 times before. And everyone was an Henry.
Henry.
She wouldn't have a Willie or a Sam.
No, sir.
I'm her eighth old man, I'm Henry. Henry the Eighth, I am. Second verse, same as the first. I'm Henry the Eighth, I am. Henry the Eighth, I am, I am. I got married to the widow next door. She's been married 7 times before. And everyone was an Henry.
Henry.
She wouldn't have a Willie or a Sam.
No, Sam.
I'm her eighth old man, I'm Henry. Henry the Eighth, I am. A Willie or a Sam.
No, Sam.
I'm her eighth old man, I'm Henry. Henry the Eighth, I am. H E N R Y. Henry.
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 Henry
the Eighth, I am, I am. Henry the Eighth, I am.
Do you believe in magic? Girl's heart, how the music can free her whenever it starts, and it's magic.
At the top of the set was Herman's Hermits with I'm Henry the Eighth I Am from 1965. Of note, it was the fastest selling song in history up until that point. It was originally written in 1910 as a British music hall song by Fred Murray and R.P. Weston, when it was revived by Herman's Hermits, becoming the group's second number one on the Hot Billboard 100 chart, dethroning, get this, I Can't Get No Satisfaction from the Rolling Stones. Despite its success, the single was not released in the UK, believe it or not. Next, we heard Love and Spoonful with Do You Believe in Magic from 1965. The single peaked at number 9 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart and later came back into the top 40 by teen star Sean Cassidy in 1978 with his cover version of the song. Bubblegum pop, also known as bubblegum music or simply bubblegum, is a genre of music with an upbeat sound contrived and marketed directly to appeal to preteens and teenagers, which may be produced in an assembly line process driven by producers and often with unknown singers. And the idea there is that you could take out a singer, replace it with another singer. Studio musicians, nobody would know the difference. It was just simply designed to make money quick, dirty, and easy. A second wave of bubblegum began several years later, from 1972 to 1977. But the original period and the classic period that we've focused on is 1967 to 1972. The genre was predominantly a singles phenomena rather than an album-oriented one. Acts were typically manufactured in the studio using session musicians, and most bubblegum pop groups were one-hit wonders at best. According to writer Bill Pazanka, a bubblegum historian and author of the liner notes from Varese Vintage's but brilliant bubblegum classic series, the whole thing that really makes a record bubblegum is just an inherently contrived innocence that somehow transcends itself. It transcends the contrivance, because there were a lot of records that were really contrived and sounded it, and those to me are not true bubblegum. It has to sound like they mean it. Bubblegum music really became more than just contrivance. It was really the roots for a lot of groups that would come in the 1970s and 80s, and further affect music into the 2000s. What we're going to take a listen to really are the original bubblegum hits, and then an alternative cover version done by a group later on. So you can kind of get an idea of where things went, who did what, and why they did it. So let's take a listen to Ohio Express with Yummy, 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 and we'll follow that up with L7's version from 2016.
Yummy, 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 I got
Started off from 1968 with Yummy 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 by the Ohio Express, and it was a definite, definitive bubblegum hit, but it was merely an original demo that somehow made it onto a 45 RPM record before the singer, Joey Levine, knew what was happening. He later had a successful career writing commercial jingles, but this reached number 4 in the US pop singles chart. We followed that up with L7's version of Yummy 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 from 2016. L7 is an American rock band founded in L.A., first active from about 1985. They're recognized for simultaneously being subversive and infusing the music with humor, and you can really tell how they took Yummy 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 and gave it their own twist. Due to their sound and their image, L7 is often associated with the grunge movement of the late 1980s and 1990s, but the album, Smell the Magic and You Need to Get This Album, was released in 1990 on Sub Pop Records, and earned a 4-star review from Rolling Stones, who said, I quote, it was one of Sub Pop's finest hours. While Yummy 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 may be a definitive bubblegum hit, everybody associates bubblegum music with the Archies and their version of Sugar Sugar from 1969.
Sugar. Got me wanting you. sweetness over me.
Pour your sweetness over me.
Was Wilson Pickett with Sugar Sugar from 1970. Pickett's cover of Sugar Sugar peaked at number 25 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. While in 1969, the Archers' Sugar Sugar was the mastermind of Don Kirshner. It was literally the first tween hit ever recorded. Catchy, easy to sing, loaded down with references children would love, and presented with an innocence the rest of rock had long, long rejected. Written by Jeff Barry and Canadian Andy Kim. A huge hit by a band that actually didn't exist. For the astute in the audience, you may recognize Ron Dante as the singer of Sugar Sugar, and he was already a top 10 hit maker as he was the lead vocalist of Tracy by the Cufflinks. Sugar Sugar reached number one in the US Billboard Hot 100 chart in 1969 and actually stayed there for 4 weeks. 1969 also saw the emergence of the 1910 Fruit Gum Company with their song Indian Giver. The Fruit Gum Company were a real band, despite this hit being written by Shondell's hitman Richie Cordell and Montego bass singer Robbie Bloom. This may be why both Joan Jett and the Ramones saw fit to cover it.
You loved me and that you always would. Then I said I loved you. You said that that was good. Girl, you made a promise. Said you'd never want me to go. Oh, no. Indian giver, Indian giver, you took your love away from me. Indian giver, Indian giver, took back the love you gave to me. I was feeling the way I wanna feel. You had me believing the love we had was real. Things we did together, you said they'd never end. Now until forever, oh yeah, that's what you said. Girl, when I was down, I knew that you would always be there. Oh yeah. Indian giver, Indian giver, you took your love away from me. Indian giver.
Ironically, the pace of Indian Giver by the Ramones is incredibly slow and close to the original by the 1910 Fruit Gum Company, which is ironic because the Ramones have been known to do 35 songs in a 55-minute set. That was released by the Ramones on the Ramone Mania album in 1987. Tommy James and the Shondells were perhaps better known for their work as the tunesmiths for Hanky Panky from the early 1960s. But with I Think We're Alone Now from 1967, the Shondells became the godfathers of bubblegum. Hanky Panky notwithstanding, and their string of late 1960s hits began in earnest with this ode to playing doctor.
Holding on to one another's hand, trying to get
That was Tiffany with her 1987 version of I Think We're Alone Now. The Tiffany recording reached number one on the charts of various countries, including the US, Canada, and New Zealand. And it really proves that bubblegum is a timeless genre. Bubblegum music wasn't limited to just the United States and Canada. In the UK, they had their own independent bubblegum scene, although slightly different in nature than ours, it really did spawn and create a lot of hits. Daniel Boone was a prominent songwriter on what was passing as the bubblegum scene in the UK, but this solo song was the only one to hit big in America, and it set records in Japan that have not yet been broken for a single. From 1972, Beautiful Sunday.
り見つけよう太陽
Seiji Tanaka with Beautiful Sunday done in Japanese from 1976. The song went to number 4 on the Japanese single chart and sold over 5 million copies. And of note, this song was so popular that it's been re-recorded in Japan by more than 25 different artists since 1972. Gimme Gimme Good Lovin', done in January of 1969 by Crazy Elephant, was not the first recording of this bubblegum classic, as Spencer Davis Group did it in 1966 and released it in 1967, thus leading many people to believe this is actually a British bubblegum hit, when in actual fact, it was made hugely popular by Crazy Elephant.
Give me good loving.
Although Crazy Elephant was a studio concoction, the Marzano Calvert studio band created by Jerry Casanis and Jeffrey Katz of Super K Productions, promoted in Cashbox magazine as allegedly being a group of Welsh coal miners for some reason. What people will do for publicity. Anyway, from 1984, we heard Gimme Gimme Good Lovin' from a Canadian band named Helix. And of note, the music video made for Crazy Elephant's cover of Gimme Gimme Good Lovin' was done with two versions. One version was filmed for video channels like MTV and Much Music in Canada, and the other one being an adult version featuring topless models, including the then 16-year-old porn star Tracy Lords. This version was aired on the Playboy Channel in the United States. And last but not least, perhaps my favorite bubblegum song of all time is Edison Lighthouse's 1970 Love Grows Where My Rosemary Goes. Essentially, they were a studio group with a prolific singer, Tony Burrows, providing the vocals. And at the time, it was the fastest climbing number one hit in record history after Herman's Hermits, Henry VIII I Am.
Where my rosemary goes, and nobody knows. La, la, la.
And also from 1970, Wayne Newton and his version of Love Grows Where My Rosemary Goes as an attempt to hippen up the image of the lounge Vegas Wayne Newton. He jumped on the bandwagon of sort of that groovy, loving, catchy song kind of thing. He did a number of albums which were strictly covers versions of current pop hits. Thanks for taking time to listen to this episode of the Buster Mungus Diaries and Bubblegum Rappers, the songs of bubblegum music covered by modern artists.